Okay, it is Tuesday, July 26, 2015. It's the 11 a.m. general discussion of the Board of County Commissioners. We have Commissioner Hare and Commissioner Heckes on vacation, and we have a full complement of legal counsel this morning, so we have the legal eagles on board. And our topic today is, first one is the public records policy.
Yes, good morning.
Good morning.
And the board last week had asked me to come back, ideally before the end of July, and we were able to do that, to discuss the status of the public records policy regarding the research we've been doing so far, and it has been considerable, and so I think this will probably be a pretty involved discussion as we keep going. There should be two aspects to this discussion, both the filling of public records requests and also the public records retention policy. And we've learned quite a bit about both of those things during the course of all this. We had the benefit of, as recently as last Friday, when Leah and I were in Bend at the conference, County Councils Association conference, we got to hear a full presentation from the state archivist on the very subject of public records. And so we have a lot to report from that experience as well. It is a very exciting time, actually, to talk about this dry-sounding subject because you have a lot of opportunities to improve the county's approach to filling public records requests and also to public records retention, which does involve a destruction component of it, and we'll explain why that's important that we have a destruction policy in place as well. There is currently, just to gloss over, and then I'll turn it over to Leah, who's got the rest of the particulars, but there is currently an absence of policy countywide on both of these topics, both the filling of requests and retention of records. And so this is the kind of thing that we're going to all have to work together. This is going to be the board's opportunity to establish the policy. And so we've got quite a lot of background to present. And unless there are preliminary questions, I'll turn it over to Leah, who's done a lot of work on this. And she can get started.
Okay. Anything?
It seems like the simple way is to find a county that's doing it well, because a county in the state of Oregon is doing it well, and kind of implement their process rather than trying to, I don't know if that sounds like it could have been, if a lot of work was expended in order to do that. That
some.
Seems some work.
Yeah,
okay,
some.
Good. That's
not
a characterization.
Not that much.
If it sounded like a lot of work as opposed to 36 counties in Oregon that have to do the same thing by state statutes, by the county that's doing it well, and basically copy their process.
The situation with that is that some counties have a full-time person who just does public records. Because between the storage and the maintenance and the destruction and the request, it can be a full-time position in some counties. We are waiting for sample policies from the state archivist, who has policies on retention and management and destruction. And so we're going to use those as our basis and go through those and hack out whatever we can simplify. And that's going to be our starting point, I think. I do have a copy of some policies from Marion County. I know Deschutes County has, I believe, it's a very thorough system as well. But those do seem to be a bit more involved than what we're trying to keep it as simple as we can. So far as the disclosure of public records, we kind of need to see who was doing what department was doing what. So we sent out an email to see which departments handled the public records policies and which shot them over to our office. There are five departments which routinely have public records requests, and they handle them. It sounds like it's very efficient for them to be handling it on their own. Those are the planning department, building safety department, I believe public works, and the surveyor's office.
Yeah.
And the sheriff as well.
And
so what we want to do, we think, is have a policy which will say the people who are requesting public records need to fill out a form, and then for those five departments which are already pretty much handling their own public records requests, we don't want to break it if it's not, we don't want to fix it if it's not broken, and let them continue to handle their their public records requests. It would be helpful if they could fill out a form just so we have an idea as to what's going out. But if a person is standing there at the counter and they see the piece of paper that they want and they would like it to have a copy of it, I think it's a lot more efficient to just say, hey, yeah, give us a quarter and we'll a quarter for the cost and we'll give you a copy of the document, especially if that's been the practice for many years. In fact, we had one department that was begging us not to change things because it was working well. And people
it's working well from their perspective, but they probably are not reviewing the state archivist's requests or requirements. I mean, legislation could change. There needs to be a central clearinghouse for either training, oversight. So that's absolutely key, that we have some sort of... And then I still, probably since my request, have not been notified of a single Freedom of Information request that affects my liaisonships. And that's not okay. You know, it's all well and good for planning to just make a copy, but if there's other things that are not happening that need to... then the system isn't working the way. So it might be not broken from their perspective, but that's not the full picture. Sorry if I'm frustrated or if I sound frustrated, but this was a request about a year ago. And so I'm frustrated from the standpoint that the potential liability for something to go out that shouldn't have gone out, or that we're not filling requests in the timely fashion, that we're not all charging 25 cents mm-hmm. for a copy. I don't know what the rates are. The inconsistencies, but from a public transparency standpoint and a consistency standpoint, it's a high priority. I think it's a high priority of the board. It's goal 7 for transparency for this last year, and we're in July, and so it doesn't have to be that complicated. And I wouldn't go to Deschutes County as a place to start, or Marion, because they do have unlimited staff and time, in my opinion. You pick a county that does it well, like Coos County, that's a comparator. That they're not going to have a staff person solely dedicated to this. They'll have a policy that works for them. And I'm not saying copy it verbatim, but starting with the state archive, in my opinion, is a good place to start, but it's probably the whole enchilada.
That'd be more for the records maintenance and storage, and not for the
that could be
records request.
Right. That could be almost overwhelming.
I want to clarify. So there's basically two conversations going on that have to be connected to each other.
Right.
So anyway, and that's what's that.
So just from a practical standpoint, then, somebody wants a public record. They fill out the form. They ship to our office along with a copy of the documents. At what point do you want to see something, and what exactly is it that you want to see?
I want to see every Freedom of Information public records request from a department that affects my liaison list.
Okay, do you want to see the documents that go out?
I want to see the requesting document, and I want to see all the documents that go out.
Okay.
Because I've never done this, I think somebody ought to. I don't think anybody's looking at these things. I don't think they're all coming to your office, because you're saying that there are offices that are just doing them.
Correct, yeah, we don't see.
From their perspective, I'm sure they're doing them fine. But there could be nuances of them that, from a legal's perspective, well, that should not have gone out. Or, you know, and then that, in turn, is an opportunity to develop good policy. And then you know what you're training for. But without somebody looking at those things, it could be...
I think what Lee is describing here is not necessarily keeping documents away from you.
No.
It's whether every document goes to legal, which does not happen currently, and shouldn't happen. It's going to slow the process down if that's part of it.
There should be a review element. You don't have to do it before the Freedom of Information request, public records request, is fulfilled. But that there's a copy of the requesting document and whatever went out with it sent to you, and maybe now it sounds like there's an archival element. And maybe you do archive all of those requests in one place.
When we get them,
yeah.
With the new policy,
this is where
you get all of them.
Okay, that's where, you're going to have to make some policy decisions.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And in terms of, getting, there is no policy. And I don't want to be a defender.
Develop one tomorrow. I mean, that's not challenging. And staff will have to do it.
Yes, okay. Thus far, a policy has not been developed.
Right.
So... that's what we're here to facilitate. Frustration definitely understood.
Mm-hmm. I had misunderstood, I think, before. I thought your review of it for some reason was prior to it being filled.
No.
You just want it so that you are not blindsided by something that somebody has. Okay.
Thank you.
It's a completely different thing, and that actually is, if we developed a policy that basically said, okay, public works, I mean, it's kind of like, be careful what you ask mm-hmm. for, because we could be bombarded with all kinds of things.
I'd like to have that option to say, you know what, I've seen 500 this month, I'm good.
Yeah.
All of them are fine, they're routine, they're, you know. But that I haven't seen one is like, what is going on that I'm missing? And I don't think the policy needs to be so, it just needs to lay out the specifics of that we are going to fill this in a 10-day, I mean, the state really irons out exactly what we're going to do, but that we haven't adopted it as a policy. There's no overarching guiding document. You know, what you can do as far as tipping a cabbie is outlined in our personal policy manual, that we don't have a personal, and I'm not trying to, you know, it's frustrating from the county that we need to get a handle on something that is really important to constituents, that is codified in legislation, state statutes. And we don't have a policy that's guiding it. It's
so
challenging.
The other question I have is that you would like to see all of them from your liaison. Do all of the, would that be for the full board, all board members?
You can only speak for me.
Okay. So it sounds like what you're saying is, at least until it gets changed, you would like the policy to be, because right now, as far as I'm sure, there is a policy that's set out in, it's just a short little sweet one within the document itself.
Yeah.
That's what we consider, have always considered the policy.
Right.
But it's not like a policy like you talked about.
Right.
But it sounds like you would like legal to be the repository for whatever anybody sends out as a public records request. And those that you're the liaison for, you want to see.
It sounds like, is going to need to be in charge of this archivist.
Yes, where we're going.
The board is in charge of the mental health records that we retained forever, some of those, you know, in conjunction with legal. We're the archiving body, you know, mm-hmm. and it wouldn't be appropriate to set up planning for public works, mm-hmm. but it certainly would be for us. All of our employees are confidential, or yours, just makes a whole lot of sense. So I'm only suggesting mm-hmm. that. Doesn't have to be there. I imagine somebody's going to be that central archive.
We had hoped it
all
would
of
be
them.
The clerk's office, but
that was with art.
That could have been a.
Yeah.
I don't know if that's a good one or a bad one. If it's a conflict, that's not really what they do. It's whatever. So.
Well, they archive.
Whoever is the archivist. I'm not dictating who.
Yeah.
That at that point, when it's sent to that person, all of those liaison things, maybe I'll just request them all. You know, that might be the easiest thing. We're going to, well, is he this, or whatever. It doesn't matter. I just need to see examples of how these are being requested, the time frame of when they're being filled. If it's 30 days for some of these requests, that's unacceptable, and we have to fix that. And I'm not saying, you know, maybe it's parks. All their requests take 2 months. Well, Sarah, something's up here. I don't think that's the way it goes. But nobody's looking at these things. And somebody ought to. That's all I'm looking at.
Okay. So we shall.
And that is an indefinite, you know, do it for 6 months, everything's good, a year, and I don't have to do it anymore. There's been a number of things where we just instituted that for a little while.
For your part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But if we institute us or
that's
the board
permanent.
Or whoever to be
that'll
the
be codified in a permanent policy. That I'm requesting those is not a permanent policy element because I'm not a permanent fixture.
Yeah.
Right?
So to have any, if it's legal, if it is the board, be the repository, that's a whole other thing. That's a big, yeah.
That this is the records management, which is the next topic. So getting into the next aspect of the records maintenance, and that is the maintenance and storage of records. The state archivist was explaining how managing the records is cheaper than just storing everything, because when you do get a public records request, you have to go through everything you have, even if you didn't need to retain it. So if you're only trying to keep 5 years of documents, but you end up having 20 years, and somebody asks for X documents, you have to go through that whole 20 years and not just the five. She explained that the public records laws were written for documents in paper format, but she said they can be saved in electronic format if they meet certain particular requirements by the statutes and if it's okay by her as required by statute. She said there's an electronic management system that will take hard copies and electronic copies and will alert you when it's time to delete them, so you can go through and say, yeah, I don't want those, don't want those. I need to keep those for something else. There is a statewide Oregon records management system, an electronic system, where agencies pay per user. One county is using it. The city of Hillsborough, Beaverton, Dundee, and a couple of others are also using it. And so that system makes it so that records are only saved on the system, and it manages email as well, and then when it's time to delete certain records, it will alert you. She said there's other considerations of the maintenance of public records that need to be considered, and that includes social media, such as Facebook. Those web pages can be public records that need to be retained as well, depending on what's happening on the Facebook page. If it's supplying information to the county that needs to be used towards creating a decision, that needs to be maintained. Text messages can also be public records if county business is being conducted on that. So we would need to have a provision where county business is not done by text message because it can't keep it. Storage of documents on the cloud creates problems because the owner of the cloud basically owns the records and they can determine when to delete things. And also general web pages, like county web pages, can also be public records if it has anything other than reference, such as I want to submit a complaint, here's my complaint, blah, 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 blah. If that's used towards creating county business, then that is a public record that needs to be retained. And then she said...
It's practically impossible to do what they're looking for. I mean, the Fairgrounds website changes daily?
If it's just general information, it's not a public record.
But there could be elements in there of the future of the arena, you know, that it's going to be like, how many times was the arena used? Or for what events? And you have to go to the website or something like that. It's like, that's not practical. We're not taking screenshots every time the Fairgrounds website is updated.
There's an expectation to change. Maybe an example would be, you know, a county publishes out an emergency existing somewhere. There's a fire. You know what I mean? So we're going to have to take a screenshot of that. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Because that's been a document that was published out of substantive nature.
But a document kind of, on a press release.
An RFP would be.
Mm-hmm. A press release is the document that led to the website.
That is true.
So in my opinion, I mean, anything substantial like that, I'd like to see an example, and I can't think of one right off the top of my head, but even an RFP, there's a document behind that press, Facebook, whatever. So we have to capture the face, every element of how it's advertised?
Sometimes.
No. It's just the advertisement itself. If you are publishing, if you are letting the bids on the Internet, it would be good to capture a copy that, yes, we did put it on the Internet on those days. That is how we have the contract, just so that you have proof of that. But that would be it for that.
Well, that seems reasonable, but for how long? You're talking about archiving that.
Right.
That bid process is 90 days.
It's usually 6 years for contract documents, and that would be a document relating to a contract. So you just keep the paper. Print out of the capture on the screen with the contact.
I can see how you can hire an archivist.
It's huge. This is huge.
I know.
I wouldn't want that job.
No.
But also that, you know, falls into those, well, we sure, unfunded mandate of the state, sure would like to have all that archived, but we don't have the resources in our staff to do it. And if I had a priority for your office, it's not that.
No.
You know? So.
So I guess the question is whether whether the board is interested at all in the county looking at the looking into the electronic management systems that is used by the state so far as documents.
Is this for all document retention, or is this just for the request for information?
It's for all document retention.
Didn't we invest in Laserfish or something like that not too long ago? I mean, there's probably always going to be a new and better something coming along. But if it isn't broken, if Laserfish is working for us, I know that we do have elements that are tickers in your office that come up to purge files. Public health does the same thing. What are the shortcomings in our current system that lead us to needing a new system? I mean, I know that advocacy for the software in the assessor's office, and what we went and used for the finance was for a nonprofit of a max of 100 employees. And you know, we're operating at 330 employees and have a budget one year of $110 million. It's not appropriate finance software to run the county. But if we don't have a problem with, you know, what is the shortcoming in our current system?
This includes email, for one thing. It's all together. And in terms of filling a request, it's very efficient. I mean, she said she pulled up every email the governor sent, right, in 15 seconds. And they can parse through that real quick, you know. And John couldn't be here today, but he could lend his thoughts as far as what the process is right now. So there's that. There is, I think, good value in it giving us that ticker of when we're supposed to discard these documents. And I don't know the way that Laserfish...
Very efficient.
No. And that is a long-term efficiency measure. It's, you know, there's a, I don't know what, she said $34 or something per user.
Like,
I don't know what exactly that means for our situation, whether it's $34 per department or whether it's, you know, me who's the user. You know,
right.
I don't know. We can look into all this if you're interested in us looking into it.
I think that where we're going now, we're going more and more to the electronics all the time. And because we are, the sheer volume of what's out there is going to be growing almost exponentially. So if there's a way to easier, because anytime we have to ask you to look something up or somebody requests emails or, you know, needs to research whatever documents were put out there on a certain topic, that is a monumental task, and it's not going to get any easier. And so I think we should investigate what it would take to convert to a system like that, how long it would take, how much it would cost, you know, what would be involved in doing that, before we say, oh yeah, let's do it. I think we need to find out what it's going to entail. But I think eventually we're going to go there. I don't see any way around it, because everybody has these things.
With our voice over internet protocol,
mm-hmm.
you are able to digitize your voicemails,
mm-hmm.
and those could be, you know, all of our outgoing messages should say this may be subject to a freedom of public records request,
right.
Whatever
right.
you say here.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And it will be used against you.
So we have these, and we have the VoIP system.
Really, you know, there isn't anything.
Mm-hmm. So
what's really ironic?
You're going to have to retract those things you said about me.
What's really ironic is there isn't any other level of government that has this. I mean,
yeah.
The federal government. You can't ask for Congressman Walton's emails on just about anything. They're just not available.
Mm-hmm.
But at the local level, it's just anything and everything is open to.
I think there will come a time that they will be, particularly in view of what has been happening in the,
sure.
you know, like the Wikipedia's garbage thing that's been going on. I think that's going to have to come because people are going to want to know.
Oh, the WikiLeaks.
The WikiLeaks. I said Wikipedia, I meant WikiLeaks. Sorry.
Yeah.
But, you know, in view of that, I think that they're going to have to start doing more of that at the federal level. But there's no reason that we should not because we're, yes, we're concerned about the openness and the transparency and all that, but I think what we should be concerned about is the retention or the loss of records. You know, if we're going to more of the electronic stuff and more of the phones and more of the VoIP system and all these things that we're doing electronically anymore, accepting documents, electronic signatures, all of that, I think it's going to be easier for us to be able to research it and document it and make it available to people, including ourselves, if we have that kind of system.
Yeah. We've probably erred on the side of saving it as opposed to pitching it.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. So we have way more than we actually
right.
are required to keep.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Even though I think that we've been diligent.
Yeah, we've been, I think, you know, we're very good at it, but the thing is that as time goes by, you know, it used to be every time you talk, you dial the phone or you punch the numbers or whatever. Now you hit auto-dial or go on the computer or whatever, and there's so much more communication out there that if you're looking for something and you're having to look through phone records and then the VoIP records and then you're having to look through the electronic records and then paper records, you're looking through all of it, but if you have one place that that's all, you'll look one place.
Yeah, phone messages, telephone conversations were not public records. But now that they're going on to written form, now we have a new public record.
Mm-hmm. And it's only going to become more complex. Mm-hmm. So I think we need to do the research into it to find out what it's going to do and how to go about it, what it would cost.
I think the retention is a longer-term project. That is not the highest thing on my priority. The highest thing for me is that we're filling the current ones in an efficient way, and we're mm-hmm. complying with
for the record
the transparency of the records request, and mm-hmm. you know, so for me, focus on that one first. And I know that's going to lead into the second one.
Sure.
But if you don't have a very good system with how you're tracking, how you're filling them in the first place,
you don't
have anything to retain or. Mm-hmm.
I don't know about the agency you work for, but the 18 years I was with the federal agency, what we did is that when we would receive the request into our office, which was always a form that was filled out, we always had to send that to our state headquarters. Of course, once I was in the state headquarters, I was the one about it. But we would send them in and say, I've had this records request, and then they would look at it and say, okay, they're requesting this. Oh, but they can't release this. You know, sorry, but they can release the rest of it. And then they send it back, and then you release the documents. That way, the state office had a record, and you had the record. The state office wasn't doing all the work. They just had legal counsel, the state office, review them and said, oh, you can't give the state, you know, the income tax records to this person. Sorry, that can't go out there. But you can give all these other things.
They were reviewing just the request.
They were reviewing the request.
Sometimes that's not enough for us. We have to see the document. And the reason for that is we have to see, do we need to redact off the document?
Well, that's what they would tell it. When you send it to the state office, they say, you can release these documents. Just be sure that this information is not included. In other words, you can't release the tax forms. But if they have their annual income or they have their listed dependents or whatever on their tax form, that you can release it. Yes, they did file.
So we actually
kind of redact. And they would redact. Well, they would redact it. They would redact things out.
But they, so the legal counsel would say, you need to redact this, that, and the other. Yeah.
Because the department doesn't want the liability of not redacting it.
No, we redact.
Yeah, so it's a little different. And right now, the way it works, for instance, with the one I can think of most that we get a lot of are from animal control.
And what's what?
From animal control. People want to see, especially if somebody filed some kind of complaint against their animal, their dog. So what the animal control folks do is they bring in the request and they already bring in what they think is responsive to it, and then so we have it all there, right, ready to go.
Yes.
So.
And then if redaction is needed, at that point it gets done.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And then we go ahead and fill the request from that point on.
Yeah. So those are pretty fast because they know that they need to give us that.
Right.
The problem with those sometimes though is getting the money. Because we got the paper, we got everything, but then we send out a letter that says you're supposed to pay, whatever, say 5 cents or $4 or whatever, and then
so it sits there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's the policy of: is it appropriate to have a deposit before you guys mm-hmm. go through? Right. You know, and it's not always going to be $4. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's going to be $50.
Mm-hmm. Email requests.
Well,
yeah.
The actual one that is policy right now. Does say if it's over 50,
mm-hmm.
If it's over 50, they have to bring in a deposit.
Great.
And then sometimes the act of sending out the letter that says, hey, you got to pay $2, it probably takes more staff time to send that out and get the money.
Sure.
That would be to just send out the request.
Well, then should we put a policy in place that they have to pay a $25 deposit when they make the request, and then the cost will be deducted from that. If it's more, they'll be notified that it's more. And if they don't respond, then you keep the $25, of course, because you've already done some research work. But
I mean, that's not a bad policy, but then you get a lot of them that are literally three pages.
Yeah.
I mean, 75%. And then the other thing is they can actually, they have the right to come in and just look.
Right.
They don't have to ask, you know, we've had people before and go, yeah, okay, I see that 10, 20 pages there. I really only want this page. So we've done the words, we've got the documents there, and they have every right to look at them, but then they...
Yeah. McCaffrey spends an hour of his time pulling up a bunch of emails. Somebody shows up to our office or his or wherever, looks at them and says, there's like one, here's your dollar, see it.
And that takes our time as well because we don't allow them to go off with the documents.
No.
They're standing there in our office, which is very small, and looking through. So that's, yeah. It's just a... I mean, any office would have to deal with that, frankly. So.
Yeah. The press is another factor. The press is another factor. Currently, the request form says that if the request can be filled in under 15 minutes, then you know the press gets it without cost. So if you want to continue that, you have the option. If you want to do something different there, okay.
But
15 minutes. You know, largely we can fill the request in 15 minutes, has been my experience.
A lot of times they're looking for something specific.
Yes.
A certain document or a certain letter. They're not fishing for something. They know exactly what they're looking for. Already online somewhere.
It'll be like, you know, Sean Hall will be sitting in the back, you know, and then Cheryl will be referencing a document, and then he'll come and chase us into the office and say, I have a copy of that.
Yep.
You know, and if it's in 15 minutes, here you go, Sean. See.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes when people have called and asked me for something, I will tell them where it is on the website.
Oh, sure.
Like, If it's available, I send them the link. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The property sale thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
On the website. So it's really kind of hard to be really hard and fast with the...
Well, that's why you probably put in a threshold, you know, saying about $25 deposit on anything over $4 or $5. You know, otherwise,
maybe.
If you don't get $4 or $5, that's fine, but... The deposit idea is not a bad idea. I mean, you just deduct it from that.
Well, maybe we should look at some other smaller...
Mm-hmm.
Smaller counties of...
If they have actual policies.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if the city has one.
Mm. It's not a bad place to start. There's got to be a municipality out there who's done all of this effort, mental gymnastics, thought about these things, integrated it with an archive system.
That
don't have an archivist. You know, look for that comparator that's very similar to us. And what's really sad is AOC should be doing this for us.
Oh,
we should not be having to do this. This is a best practices element that we all have to conform to. And here's the cookie cutter, you know, policies. Mm-hmm. This is a place to start. And it's been my...
The league might have something.
The League of Oregon Cities.
They do a lot more of that kind of stuff.
Well, it seems like a legal... They didn't have... I mean, they give you everything. And then they don't parcel it down. It's like, here it is.
Oh, it's a meeting?
Yeah.
And
it's not like a cookie. Mm-hmm. Like
a narrative?
Tailored,
mm-hmm.
A Cliff Notes version of, here's your policy as a good place to start.
She gave us that. I mean, we have some model policies, And we're going to introduce those. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, so.
You're not starting from scratch.
No.
No, I don't feel that. I don't feel that. We kind of are in terms of Josephine County, because.
Yeah. Well, frankly, it's
getting done. Are you saying what you need?
We have
probably.
I have heard of some that are like, I asked for that a while ago, or this cost me this year, and they're really great about it over in planning, you know, filling these things out. But when you go to, you know, I'm going to pick on parks, even though I don't think they really get a lot.
No.
You know, parks doesn't do it right. Well, that's not the way we should be consistent. You do one thing in one place, and it should be the same thing in another.
Well, we have answered a lot that could probably be under your.
I'm sure.
If you want to deal with that, if you want to just tell.
Are you guys archiving those?
Yeah, we have. Each Chantel keeps a list. So if you want to just keep a list,
that'd be great.
And then you can say, oh, I want to see this one.
Yeah.
Some of them you probably don't care about.
Well, there's often times when we're not all, as even at a board, talking off the same sheet of music. I'll use the rock and soil issue of, you know, planning's doing one thing, sending out a July 23rd or whatever kind of a deadline. I have no idea. I'm not liaison to planning, but I've heard from the rock and soil place. I've heard from the constituents in the area. They call. We talk about the options and all that stuff. Meanwhile, Commissioner Heck's getting this. Meanwhile, Commissioner Walker, you know, wasn't included or hasn't been updated on it at all. And it's like, this is not... So I've asked Julie, I said, the whole board needs to get up to speed on this. We don't need to make a decision, but we all need to be singing off the same sheet of music. And she's worried about an appeal jeopardizing. And I said, right now, I don't have information. All I have is jeopardizing information that we're going to be, you know, what I'm asking for is information that we can all sing off the same sheet of music. But if you guys are filling freedom of information requests that say one thing, and we're not hearing about, well, what information is that? That's good information to have. That's not good for us. Okay. We need to be as up to speed. So that's the premise of what I'm interested in hearing. It's seeing, you know, for my liaisons, when somebody calls and they ask for this, I should know the Rural Land Development Code because they're going to have a copy of it or whatever, you know, the application right in front of them, and I don't know it. Mm-hmm. That doesn't make me look good.
Okay.
So thanks for the progress.
It's gotten bigger and bigger, actually. I mean, we start off with a basic sounding request, and it was, but mm-hmm. as we started kind of peeling this onion, it got to be a pretty big project. So,
well, if I could offer guidance, the archive element is one thing, but policy driving how we fill them every day, that the staff departments are doing it correctly, consistent with the intent of the board, that's for me much more important.
Sure. And that will be our
staff. So we're going to go for the recommendation.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We are. We could target maybe 3 weeks.
Sure.
Would that be sounding okay? Mm-hmm. Okay. So we'll target about 3 weeks, general mm-hmm. discussion again.
Mm-hmm.
We should have some kind of draft.
Give us some information a week ahead of time, like the existing, you know, one sheet and maybe some other options of things that you would want and how you'd want to do that so that we have something to review before
yes.
we come to this.
Yeah, a draft proposal.
That would be good.
So 4 weeks.
Yeah.
The draft.
We'll give it, yeah, okay.
As
three-ish weeks.
Possibly can give us a draft of those recommended policy. And it will need a week to review before you're
going. Got it. We will do that. And that policy, as you've said, which is so we're all crystal clear, is just going to focus on filling of requests. And it's not. We're not going to try initially, at least, to tackle the archiving.
No, I think that's a much longer term project.
Mm-hmm. It is.
Yeah, that's going to be a long term.
One well worth engaging in, though.
Oh, absolutely. So. And I think you're, you know, tying it all in with emails and everything makes perfect sense. You know, but John's got to be at the table at desk. Mm-hmm. You've got to have lead time to investigate how IT departments are doing it around the state. So.
And it's kind of a bigger issue. We've been talking in our office about the fact that when you get a lot of new folks coming into the county, they don't know what they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And so there needs to be probably some kind of training with not just how to keep public records, what not to throw out. You know, some people might come in and go, well, I just want to clean everything up. I'm just going to throw up. You know, and
sure.
they don't ask. Some people thankfully
ask. Put HR in.
Yeah, HR somewhere needs to be. If you have questions about this, and this,
they always spend a whole day. New staff.
I know, it's a lot.
I'm not sure what they're talking about, but I'm sure.
I
might need to go through it. You know,
a refresher course.
Yeah. Well, I didn't know there was a
contracting rules. You know, the all kinds of things that people end up asking us about. But they're not told up front.
Right.
I've had people, if there is one of them who would say, I've asked, you know, 5 or 6 people around the county, and I'm kind of going, why would you ask that person? Why, you know, and why? It's because they don't know. They
mm-hmm.
have no idea who to ask. And,
Yeah, that's too bad.
And
I've heard a number of things like that, and I told her, Sarah, send me an email, not the guy. Send me some correspondence, and I'll direct you to the right person.
Yeah.
I think 99% of the time, it's not much that's going to come up that I'm not going to know who. I won't know the answer, but I'll know who does.
Exactly.
So don't be fishing around in public works for a building and safety solution.
Yes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Because quite often, the person that should ask is going to tell them. When they know they're not really the person to ask.
Yeah. They'll tell them last year's issue.
Yeah. Well, one time I did it like this.
Anyway, thanks. The codification process, I think the draft that I looked at over the weekend looked really good. I'm pretty excited about the opportunity for this board or for the next board to really go through and weed out a lot of ordinances
mm-hmm.
that are not applicable that are on the books. Mm-hmm. And frankly, it's kind of like you got to have the codification to do that, which is unfortunate because we're codifying code we're going to get rid of.
True.
You know what I mean?
And, but if you don't know what you have, you can't get rid of it.
Right.
You can't clean it up without it.
You can clean it up, but if you don't know you have it.
So there's going to be, we're going to need to dial in a process of repealing ordinances and stuff like that. That's going to be key. There is something, an ordinance out there that we're going to have to rescind or... What's that? It's very relevant. It's in the email chain right now about something that we're going to have to update. Oh, I think it was the EOP, the Emergency Operations Plan and stuff. And there's a number of ordinances that are referenced in the plan that aren't exactly consistent with where we're at right now, talking about where emergency operations is no longer housed departmentally in the sheriff's office. It's under the board. And does that change... If 203-whatever for the hierarchy of the support, if that changes, we move it out of the sheriff's office, does that change that ordinance? It needs to be amended, and it's kind of like a ripple effect.
I think that was adopted by resolution, the ordinance. Yeah. So we would just need to adopt a new resolution without doing an ordinance. And I think we did that knowing that we don't have to have two hearings and so on and so forth to make changes like that.
Good.
So it's all by resolution.
Okay.
Did you get an update from Nature about this morning? I mean, you just talked to Brooke this morning.
I did not get an update from this morning, no.
You just talked to her this morning, and she said she thinks one more month.
Okay. Great.
On what?
Thanks.
She's a code publishing person.
Mm-hmm. Appreciate your patience on that.
Do we have a draft of the full thing, or is that what they're looking to provide?
That's what they're going to give us.
In a month.
Hopefully in a month.
Okay. A date would be really nice, because a month from... this week, a month from this month.
He said he was going to write an email. I just haven't.
That'd be great.
Vish just told me that by phone, and I said he'd write an email so we have it.
Something. Because they want to get paid. They want this project off their books.
They haven't gotten any money yet.
There's a lot of work that's gone into this.
Right, but that's the way their contract is set up.
Yeah.
They get money as soon as they get that draft to us.
Okay.
That would be
the last thing we want is for them to go out of business or something like that before this is done.
Oh, God. Don't even say that.
Four-year program. What do we have? That assessor's software.
They went out of business, blah, blah, blah,
before we actually got it all the way
in. Or they never could do it to begin with. Remember?
Right.
It was some weird thing.
They overpromised and underdelivered. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Great.
Next item. We're through with that one?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Planning Department, Building Safety Department merge proposal. You're here with that one?
No. I can stay if you want, but I don't have a whole lot substantive to add.
Okay.
We'll do the paperwork and we'll try to do it.
I'm prepared to discuss this without HR, finance, the actual
We'll just go over this and see if there's anything that we want to
do. I reviewed it before we got here because we just had a few minutes, and there really isn't anything. There's a lot of HR stuff that needs to be addressed in here with staff job descriptions, levels changing, all that stuff. But otherwise, I think it's a very succinct plan to put these two departments together and really codify it in a community development department.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Okay. Thank you.
I think there are next steps that need to be taken before our final review, that those need to happen. And probably breaking out each of the different employees' job descriptions or salary levels.
Yeah, there's a lot we need to do.
We need all those within the company.
Okay.
All right. You bet.
Okay. On this, read through this, and it's pretty straightforward, actually. But I agree that we need to have HR and finance each look at this and do an analysis of it as to how they see this coming together.
Do you know what the back is? The back page?
I don't know. I didn't get the back page.
I bet that is not relevant to this.
Should I grab something else?
Exhibit B, hours by task. Data gathering and analysis, task 1, 117 hours.
I think that's a recycled page.
Wildland fire associates.
Yeah, because I kept looking at yours and looking at mine and thought, I didn't get that.
Do you have a brown paper or this here?
It's 1 2/3.
Mine is not. This page doesn't. This is the wildland, 9 to 10 and 10 to 10. 8 to 10?
It goes from, there's items 1 through 9.
I'm looking at something different, totally different.
That's not it either, Tony. I started to call you Tony. Why would I call you Tony?
Me?
Oh,
okay. Tony. Why?
You know what?
I'm looking at the wrong thing.
You know what? That's my son-in-law's birthday is tomorrow. My son-in-law's Tony.
This looks right. Well, this looks like a weird thing. Terry.
Yeah, it's 1 2/3 pages, items 1 through 9. So, but I agree. And Arthur's gone for a couple of weeks, and
JJ
is gone this week. So, Kristen needs to go over them and have each of them review it.
That might also be something to consider in the future, that they stagger their vacations because they're backups for each other.
I didn't know JJ was going to be gone this week until after I'd already approved for Arthur.
Yeah.
And JJ said he's in town today and tomorrow, that he won't be leaving until the end of the week. So if we need to reach him, he says, I'm there.
Yeah, maybe at the beginning of the summer we can.
Yeah.
And cash those out.
So I didn't know that until I knew it. He told me, I think it was Thursday or Friday, and I already knew about it.
Yeah.
Didn't know
first
about
come, first serve. There's one issue that came up last week, and it's the readability of the weekly business session materials. There's been a couple of times when they don't scan well, and I don't know what we can do about that. But if they're not readable for the general public, then it's not, you know, the electronic version. It was really dark, and all the photos that come in from Public Works and stuff, they're always really dark. We've got to figure out a way to make those as clear to the printable version that we get as possible, just improving the readability of the scan.
When we put them through Laserfish, if we make them color, it takes up a huge, huge file.
I don't mind them being in black and white, but it can't be, maybe it needs to be grayscale as opposed to, I don't know what
that
the answer.
That also takes up a bigger file.
I don't know what the answer is, but how they are right now, coming through, like, black. I can find an example.
Maybe
it wasn't this last week, it was the week before,
okay.
So we didn't have anything.
Maybe we can scan them on the copier.
If you wouldn't mind figuring out another way
that, would work
that they're more readable, because it's not keeping.
Is this a weekly business session?
Yeah, the ones we've
well,
got.
Or admin. Whatever kind of electronic copy that we get as a board and then we publish out for the public to see and review, they're not able. And I've heard this, you know, from, it doesn't happen very often, but when it does, the last time it was on actual material it needs to be available. Some of those other ones are pictures of trucks and stuff like that, and that's not integral to us making the decision. It's more statistics about
graphs or
number
charts,
of miles,
tables.
But that kind of stuff needs to be readable.
Mm-hmm. Where you can actually
track changes.
Percentages.
It might have been track changes or something like that. It's like, that's all well and good. We've made progress that we're putting track changes, but they're unreadable. You know, whatever it was. I don't remember.
Yeah, because it goes in black and white.
It might need to be like a grayscale. I don't know what the solution is.
We're just going to have to do it twice. We'll have to put it in Laserfish for records and then run it separately.
Well, even the Laserfish records ought to be readable. And I don't care.
We have to talk to John.
Yeah.
Because I don't
think it takes more
space.
If you or I want it in the future and it comes out black, it's not coming out.
And anything in yellow that's highlighted blacks out in Laserfish.
That's not good.
It's not good.
Because it's usually the highlighted thing that's the most important.
Mm-hmm.
What did they say? So, anyway, it's something
we need to
work. The
discussion was about blank. And they decided blank. Because blank. See how we can get that corrected. Okay.
And the last thing is, I met with the contractor for developing the Community Wildfire Protection Plan, and it went really good. We had two or three of the members of the team via the phone, we had one of the owners of the company who lives in Silver Point came over, and we had all of the executive committee and a representative from Jackson County, even though they're not part of the contract yet, present. We spoke for probably 2 hours on what we all wanted to see. I think one of the challenges that we had with the last contract is we didn't ever sit down as an executive committee and really lay out what are our expectations with this to the contractor. So I want to take responsibility for why the last one didn't go as well, and we hopefully solved that problem. The scope of work is very, very clear, very specific, and I think everybody on the team has a good expectation of what the final product should look like. So. And I think it'll happen before the end of the year, ideally.
That's what I was going to say, how long will this take?
Yeah, no, you'll probably be a signator on that mm-hmm. final document that mm-hmm. really should drive how we react and prepare for wildfires in mm-hmm. our community for the next decade.
Yeah, it's very concerning, particularly when you watch what's going on in other places right now where, you know, it's so dry and there's houses built in the interface or in the forest or mm-hmm. brush, you know, and then what happens and how quickly it happens. And I know even my own place, you know, I look at that and it's like, I mean, I have fire breaks pretty
yeah,
far back,
no, you're
but
right.
but
you're
still,
pretty good.
You know, if it was high wind and a hot fire,
oh,
it wouldn't matter.
It went in the right direction.
It would not matter.
Yep.
And which is very concerning because people don't really realize is that typically, of course, fire typically runs uphill, but if the wind is high, it'll run anywhere.
Well, and there's things that we could put on there that I just thought of. You know, you see that guy in California who's on his roof with a garden hose.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's not, you know, you can plan for sprinklers. My parents' place, we have three sprinklers.
We put sprinklers on our roof.
We put sprinklers up there for heat control, but also for, you know, you can just, we've got a generator up to the well, power line goes down, we can take off.
We have a generator for each well.
So people need to know that ahead of time, and that needs to be integrated as a mm-hmm. as a thing we discuss when we're doing FireWise Community. You know, there's fuel reduction, but then there's also
things you can do.
Measures.
And, you know, I had never thought about the sprinklers on the roof until there was an attorney that used to represent, when I was a hearings officer, there was an attorney that used to represent people in cases that came before me. And of course, you get to know someone after a number of years. And he had a home of its above the Deschutes River at your sister's.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a subdivision that had been built up there of all these really nice homes. There were probably 20 homes in there, I think, 18 or 20 homes. And he was gone on vacation one year, and there was a big fire that went through up there. And this was like in 1985 or 6, I think it was. 1990, probably 1990. And he wasn't home, but he had sprinklers on his roof.
Mm-hmm.
And so when the fire started heading that direction, his son went out and turned the water on, turned the generator on, turned the water on. On that house. That's the only house that survived. All the rest burned.
Yeah.
All the rest burned. He had $30,000 of smoke damage.
Well, I take that over the
yeah, but he didn't lose his house.
Right.
Just because he had the sprinklers up there, and when the fire came, even though he was gone, his son went up and turned the generator on, turned the water on, and left. And his son's a state trooper. And so, you know, they had things they had to do, and when they went back after the fire was over, that's the only house left standing.
Makes all the difference in the
world. Makes all the difference in the world, yeah. I'll take $30,000 of smoke damage. So, yeah, it works. And I know when we've had them where the sparks were coming over, like from the biscuit fire and stuff, we had that little sprinkler. We have two of them, like halos, one on each end of the house that go mm-hmm. around and around and around. And hook up to the water. So, okay, anything else?
Nope.
Okay, it is 11:54, and we are...